Well, a few things I want to say. First, I'm so blessed to be sharing ministry with such a great team here. I can be gone for a week, and it all just continues to go very, very well. It's wonderful. Second is congratulations to Ashley, formerly Whalen, now Ashley Kennedy, daughter of Mike and Gay Whalen, who was united in marriage with Walker Kennedy last weekend, and I had the privilege to be a part of that celebration. And third thing I want to say, Chuck and Amy, great to see you guys here. What a surprise. What a great, I had to keep myself in the chair when I saw you walk in, but great to see you guys here, and I'm sure those of you that have shared a ministry here at Trinity over the years like I have, you want to greet Chuck and Amy Crockett, who are here visiting with us from Texas. So let's look at God's Word together, shall we? We're going to read from Colossians 1, 25 through 29, and then we're going to open this portion of God's Word today. I'm looking forward to be able to share it with you, but first let's give attention to the reading of the Word of God. Paul in Colossians chapter 1 has just spoken about the church. So understanding the subject is the church of Christ. Paul says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. How does what you are seeking for your life this fall align with what God wants for you and what God wants in you this fall? What you're thinking about now and you're planning for and you're saying, yeah, this is what it looks like. This is what's going to be. This is what I'm going after. How does that align with what God wants for you and in you? And you can't answer that question with any sincerity unless you know what God wants for you. And so today we're going to look at Colossians 1, 28 and 29 so that we might know what this is. And we're going to apply this understanding to our own lives, to every believer growing in Christ this fall. And especially we're consider growing in and by the mechanism of small groups, which God has given us the opportunity to grow in. So there's where we're going. What are you seeking? What does God want you to seek? And we're going to apply that knowledge to growing in small groups this fall. So Paul's writing to the church of Colossae, believers in Jesus Christ, in a place where Paul had not established the church. The gospel was proclaimed there by a man named Epaphras, and a church was born as many embrace the gospel. And Paul has heard then about this church, the genuineness of their faith, yes, but the true reality of the threats that they faced. And so he's writing them, and hence we have this book, God's Word to Us. And as he's writing the believers in this book, he's now, as he's moving into it, reflecting on his assignment. And this assignment that Paul is reflecting on is also the assignment of TCC. It's the assignment of all gospel churches and all who truly represent Christ in proclaiming the gospel. And there it is in Colossians 1:25. Paul speaks of this assignment from God to make the word of God fully known. to make the Word of God fully known. And now we're moving kind of toward Colossians 1, 28 and 29, the text we're considering today, but just then considering, okay, where does Paul go from there? After reflecting on the assignment, then he rejoices in the blessings. He rejoices in the great, glorious, too great to fully understand or comprehend blessings that God has revealed to all believers in the gospel, to them, that is believers in Jesus Christ, those God has revealed it to. God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles, and that's because the gospel is not just for Jews, it is for the Gentile as well, are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Now, don't let that word mystery throw you off. What mystery means in the biblical sense is that which is previously unknown, now revealed and known in the gospel. And one of the aspects of this mystery, the things that were previously unknown, now known and revealed in the gospel, are the glorious blessings of the riches of the glory that we have in Christ. And other passages in the Bible speak of some of those blessings and what is now known and revealed in the gospel. But this one speaks of one particular blessing. Did you notice what it is? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ now dwells in you is one of those glorious blessings. And that is revealed in the gospel, and all true believers do indeed have Christ indwelling them by his Spirit. Then Paul moves to explaining how all of this, all gospel ministry, making the Word of God fully known, and gospel blessings, including that Christ is in you, relate to the issue and connect to the issue of each believer's growth. There's where we are. And that's what our focus is today. In Colossians 1:28, here it is. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Did you count how many times everyone shows up there? Paul is obviously talking about something for every believer in Jesus. Three times in one verse, every person is referenced. And so we're going to take this now and move it to applying to all of us, everyone, growing together through small groups in this coming season. And this is kind of a mini-series, if you will. One week this week on small groups, 1 week next week on small groups, and then starting the 15th, we launch into a new fall series. But let's consider growing together through small groups this fall. We're going to consider the goal of maturity for every believer, the message for all growth. There's one message for every person's growth. And we're going to see that in this text. And then we're going to consider work and effort for and in the process. Because growth doesn't happen if you just sit there and say, I wish I'd grow. Growth entails effort. And we're going to consider that here from this text, all drawn from Paul's words in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. We're going to pack these lessons about growth that God desires for every believer. We're going to apply them to growing together in small groups. Now, let me share with you an illustration of what I hope to accomplish today and what I hope God does in and through this. So one summer during my years in college, I had a job as a cemetery caretaker. This was a small cemetery connected to the church where I grew up, and my job was to keep that place up during the summer. And I'm sharing this with you because in that cemetery, right along the dirt road that went right through the middle of it, to the right there was a hand water pump. And this water pump was the source of what quenched my thirst, and it was also the source of the water that I use and others use for watering plants and planters there in the cemetery. But there's something you need to know about that water pump that kind of relates to today's message, is that if you went up to the pump and started pumping, nothing happened. Pump though you would, nothing happened. Why? Because the pump had lost its prime. Now, when I say prime, I'm not talking about that soft drink that's all the rage with my grandkids, okay? I'm talking about a different thing when I mention prime. This priming the pump was that the last guy that used the water pump always left a bucket full of water there so that you could prime the pump so the pump would work for you to get all the water you wanted. So you take the water bucket out, you pour it down the top of the pump apparatus. This is the way it works. And when the water was in it to prime it and you began to pump it, now the water worked and came out and you can get all kinds of water because you primed the pump. Today's message, I'm hoping to prime the pump. This little bit of God's word I'm giving you today about growing and about groups and the process, my prayer is God's going to use this to spread an abundance of flowing blessings and growth and ministry and interest in small groups and the process of groups and everything God wants to do in us and in Trinity this fall. And this, my prayer is, will be that prime for that pump and all those blessings. Let's consider Colossians 1, 28 and 29, and first consider the goal of maturity for every believer. This is important to note. There is a goal that God has for every single Christian. Not for some that are the super spiritual ones, or those that are happen to be interested, or those that feel like they have time, or whatever category you might have. No, this is the goal, Paul speaks of it here, for every believer. He sums up this goal for every Jesus follower, and that is that we would move toward maturity. So this then gives all of us a goal this fall. It gives us a goal in every season. Then every season, every opportunity, God wants us to be moving along the path of growing in our relationship with Christ. Not saying, oh, I'm fine. I'm saved. I'm going to make it. I'm okay. I've made some progress before. No, God wants us to be moving along that now toward that. And I'm going to show you that here in this text. And I just want to kind of reflect on this, that we, at Trinity, we work to provide a plan and a process for small groups for the purpose of personal growth and for community clusters that cultivate it. We take this seriously because we want to help every single believer in this endeavor of pursuing the goal God has for them, and we want to do that again this season as we do at Trinity in each of our small group seasons. Let's just drill down a little bit in Colossians 1:28, where Paul says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom." We'll talk about that in a minute, that first part of the verse. That the purpose of all this ministry, making the word known, all the unpacking of the blessings of the gospel that we have, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is a goal for every believer and always for the believer. The Greek word here points to a step-by-step process of growing in Christ's likeness. How do I know that? Because Paul is envisioning that the proclaiming and the warning and the teaching advance the believer ahead in the maturing. Now, that word teleos can mean perfect, completely perfect, but that isn't done yet and never is done in the life of a believer. Consider Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, where even someone of the stature of Apostle Paul says, not that I am yet perfect. Same core Greek word. He's not there yet. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. No one is there yet, but we will be there when we stand before Jesus, when we are presented before Jesus. This presenting before Jesus is referenced both here in verse 28 and in verse 22, and I picture it something like this. Jesus, this is your redeemed child, fill in your name. He or she is now complete. When is that? That's when Jesus comes and we stand before him. It's going to be a great day. But until then, we are not yet perfect, but we are to be maturing and moving along step by step in this process of growing in conformity to Christ. Let's reflect a little bit on maturity. We might say that maturing is loving God more, because first commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That has a lot to do with our priorities, right? Not just saying you love God, but really loving God. Not just kind of loving God, but loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving God. Maturing includes that. And maturing includes loving your neighbor. Not just tolerating your neighbor and not being mean to your neighbor, but Christ-like love for your neighbor. And of course, that has a lot to do with relationships. And all this then brings up the issue of Christ-like character. The fruit of the Spirit is a picture of Christ-like character. Not just some fruit, but a lot of fruit, fully fruit, conformed to the image of Christ. That's moving toward maturity and obedience. Obedience in everything, and in thinking, in words, in behaviors. Right? The bar is that bar of holy conformity to Christ and all that he wants for you, and bearing fruit in prayer, in the word, in worship, in obedience, in service, and in sharing the gospel as God grows you. There's a lot to aim for, isn't it? And I hope you're not discouraged by that. I hope you're saying, hey, I'm in. This is a goal for me this fall. Wherever I'm at, I want to be about moving along in maturity, because that's one of God's purposes for me. And that's a purpose for this season. Is that a goal for you this season? Well, we provide small groups in part to help us along in that goal. And yes, there's other aspects. We'll talk more about those. But let's consider, secondly, as we're priming the pump for growing together in the Word and in small groups this fall, let's consider the message for all growth. There is one message. According to what Paul says here, there's one central message for all growth. And this is important for us to remember. It's not a program. It's not even a great topic, although we will study topics. It's not a particular kind of scheme or pattern. It is a person. It's a person. The message is a person. And the person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, and each one who proclaims the gospel faithfully, has this one central message for advancing all growth, not only for knowing him and salvation, but growing in him. It is in him that we grow. We proclaim him, Paul says. Him we proclaim. Christ is proclaimed for all gospel ministry and all true growth, and all correcting and teaching for believers to grow then and this fall also centers in Christ. Now, Paul is writing to a specific group of believers who have a lot in common with us. We may not understand that at first glance, but one thing is that they are believers. Second is they live in a world filled with lies that contradict the truth of the supremacy of Christ, which Paul is saying, this is all you need, and what you need for all growth is Christ. He is supreme, and he is God, and he's sufficient for all your growth. But the other thing I think we may note that's a commonality between them and us is that often, as we look kind of through the book of Colossians, we can see there's some fads kind of floating around. There's some things coming along. They're saying, hey, this is kind of better in Jesus. This is what you really need. Jesus is okay, but this is what you really need. And they were susceptible to those fads, and we face the same kind of nonsense today. Yeah, Jesus is okay, but what you really need is this, fill in the blank, right? And Paul's whole purpose in writing the book is to underscore the supremacy of Christ, warn them about these kinds of threats, and call them to continue on in Christ. As you've received Christ, walk with him, remain in him, growing in him, rooted in him. And so when Paul says, him we proclaim, he's underscoring that Christ is all-sufficient God. He now indwells each gospel believer. He's the source of all wisdom and all growth, and all your growth is in him. Now, Paul also, as he's doing so, we might just reflect a little bit back on the previous verse, verse 27, coming back to the whole idea of Christ in you. This one who is all-sufficient God indwells you by his Spirit, each one who's a believer. And what do you do with that? How does that strike you? That Jesus dwells in you. Well, Paul here is saying this is such an amazing thing. Christ in you is the hope of glory. What does he mean by that? That this reality of Christ indwelling you, each gospel believer, and that you will stand complete and glorified before him when he comes again, this reality now gives you a great deal of hope and strength, assurance, comfort, that impacts your life in the midst of struggle. So if you're going through something difficult, hold on to that. Christ dwells in me, and therefore this assures me that I will stand before him complete, and he's going to finish the job. And so this then is a catalyst for growth. It's like this is spurring me on to say, yeah, that's why I want to grow, because he's continuing to do that work in me and will surely complete it. And Paul here envisions, I suggest, two prongs of this proclaiming. And this is important because all of us need growth, and proclaiming is not just sort of like, yeah, whatever, there's Jesus again. But proclaiming involves at least two things. One is warning. And that word warning could be even translated correction. How many of you like to be corrected? Go, he's there, oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It's like, no, most of us, our first response to correction is to defend, right? No, not me. That wasn't it. That's not it. But one of the things that the true proclaiming of Christ and the word-based warnings that we received is this warning that's a part of us growing. Warnings help us to grow. So him we proclaim warning, to warn, admonish, or correct. That word is also used in Colossians 3:16. But the other word is teaching, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Teaching is to teach or instruct in the truth. And we need the truth. We need to be constantly reminded of the truth, and not just having the understanding of the truth, but our hearts align with that truth and embracing it and seeking to apply it. And that's what teaching is. And so now I'm imagining somebody out there, some of you guys that are pretty sharp, are saying, Pastor Bruce, you're doing a good job with the text here, but this has nothing to do with small groups. This is a crazy reach, Pastor Bruce, that you're going to Colossians 1:28-29 and trying to apply that particular text to small group. And I just want to say, hold on there, okay? Just hold on there. So look at this. Consider this. Compare Colossians 1:28, Paul's description of his assignment and the assignment of all gospel churches, with Colossians 3:16, where Paul's giving instructions to all believers for our relationships with one another. And notice, wow. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing. The word admonishing is the same Greek word as warning. I don't know why they translate it two different ways in the ESV. Same Greek word. One another in all wisdom. So where does this warning and admonishing come from? It doesn't come from some guy you hear online. It doesn't come from a pulpit where me or somebody else bringing it to you. It comes from your brother or sister sitting beside you in that group. Teaching and admonishing, one another. Not making it up, but it flowing from the word. And this teaching and admonishing or warning is not only something you receive from that believer sitting beside you in the small group with you, but it's something that you give to them. You're involved in teaching and warning. Now, how do you do that? Well, look at the first part. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. When the word of Christ dwells in you, you're not going around saying, hey, you got this all wrong, and I want to tell you what I know, and you got to get this straightened out. No, you're aligning your life with the word, and by aligning your life in the word, there's a warning and instruction for others in the word that you're aligning with. So this then points to the ministry that we have shared together with believers, other brothers and sisters in Christ, in that kind of environment, with exactly what a small group is. So Paul's envisioning this all flowing out of the central message of a person that we proclaim. And as we proclaim that person, it includes warnings based in the word and teachings from the word for all of us to be growing. And we do this not only in what we receive from teachers, but we do this from what we receive from our brothers and sisters in community, like a small group. So that's why we need to be in a group. You can't fulfill Colossians 3:16 at home. Can't be done. You got to be connected to brothers and sisters in real relationship in the word and proclaiming and embracing Christ. Now, all of this, the wonderful blessings and growth in us and others that happens, won't happen unless there's work or effort in the process. And Paul reflects on his great effort in his own growth, and especially for his helping others to grow. And I would make the case from this that we should too. We should be extending effort in our growth. Not just because Paul gives us an example of that, which applies to growing and certainly to our growing, but also because there are passages in the Bible that directly tell us that we need to extend effort in our growth, such as Philippians chapter 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's effort. Such as 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, train yourselves, discipline yourself for godliness. So Paul isn't expecting it to be a matter of just taking it easy with a faint hope that some might serendipitously drift into growing. And neither should we. Like, oh, we got some groups. That's nice. Maybe somebody might happen to grow somehow. No, it is something that entails effort. Just like that water coming from that pump needs you to work on the handle for water to flow. So there's effort entailed, and Paul's envisioning that effort. And I just want us to consider some lessons we can learn from Paul's example here as we look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, just the next verse. And it does kind of relate to where Paul's going in Colossians chapter 2 as he speaks of struggling. He has the same idea in Colossians 2. He's struggling for them, the believers there. But that reflects on the struggle, the effort in our own growth. And this struggle is not separate from Christ. It is a struggle as we embrace the proclaiming of Christ in his work in growing us. And that's what I'd like us to consider, four lessons for our effort for growing in Christ, from Paul's effort for helping others to grow in Christ. Consider this. This may be the most important one. This effort is possible. Some of you may be saying, nah, I can't do that. It's not possible. Say you're wrong. Did you look at the verse? For this I toil, struggling, how? With all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is possible by Christ's work in you. The one who indwells you is working in you, giving you the grace so that you can. So when you're saying, I can't, you're denying the truth. You can if Christ is in you. And you have responsibility to extend the effort, the very responsibility that Christ gives you the grace to extend. He is working powerfully within Paul, and he's working powerfully within each believer. He's giving the energy so that you can extend the effort for your growth this fall. The second is this effort for growing in Christ is compared to two things in Paul's word usage here in Colossians chapter 1:29. The word toil gets at the idea of the diligence of a worker. It connects a lot to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul speaks of a diligent worker, a worker who is toiling, and he's doing that kind of diligent worker toiling. In fact, the word here, the Greek word, has the idea of copious. Somebody who's kind of taking copious notes, you say, man, they're really taking very detailed, they're not missing anything. That's the idea that's here in this word, that diligence in doing the work, putting forth the effort. The other image that's here in this verse is of a disciplined athlete. When Paul says struggling, agonizomai, that's a word that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And Paul's using the image of a Christian is like an athlete in that discipline that it entails to be an athlete and to grow in your faith. So some folks kind of think that just sort of Jesus just zaps growth into you. Yes, he's working in you, but he's working in you so that you put forth the effort, like the diligence of a worker, like the discipline of an athlete for growing in Christ. So that means finding the group, getting in the group, showing up at the group, opening the Bible and your heart, engaging the other things that are going to help you to grow, connecting to worship, serving in ministry, all those other things that God would want you to do as a part of the growth process. The third thing is this effort involves prayer. It heavily involves prayer for growth. You may say, Pastor, I didn't see prayer in that verse. Well, Paul has spent a good deal of the first chapter, verses 9 through 14, speaking about his prayer for them. So when he speaks of the struggle he has, and he goes into chapter 2 about his struggle for the church there in Colossae, he's not just referencing the work he's doing in writing a letter and sending representatives and keeping an eye on them. I think he's referencing very heavily what he's already mentioned in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, of the things he's praying for them. He's praying diligently for them. He's struggling for them in prayer. And that's exactly what we see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. As Paul mentions this guy, Epaphras, the one who originally preached the gospel there in Colossae, and his continuing concern for them, he says, Epaphras is always struggling, same word, for you in his prayers. So you want to think about how you can help somebody else grow. You want to think about how you can see TCC be more and more a place that fosters growth. I would suggest one place all of us can put forth some effort is in prayer. Praying the kinds of things Paul prays in Colossians 1, 9 to 14. Praying like Epaphras prayed in Colossians 4, verse 12. Prayer for growth is what is included in this effort for growing. And lastly, this effort for growing, the lessons for us, is it isn't only for perfect situations. And I can imagine a lot of people right now sitting there saying, you know, this small group thing is really great, but I've got this fall. You didn't know that. I've got that. My schedule is this. My priorities are that. The issue I've got is this. You know, this going on in my family, this going on, whatever. And so many of us are going, yeah, it's good, but. And I just wanted to say, wait, pause a second there. Where was Paul when he wrote this letter? Let's just reflect on this. Where was he? He was in prison. So Paul had every reason to say, man, you know what? I've got my hands full here. I mean, I'm dealing with this whole prison thing. I mean, I sure wish those believers out there in Colossae were doing pretty well, but man, I got enough to deal with my life, being in prison here and all the things I got going on. And he didn't do that, did he? Even though he was in a far less than perfect situation, Paul was struggling for their growth. And I want to suggest in the less than perfect situations of our fall, our lives, our schedules, man, struggle for growth. Find a way to make it happen. Find a way to connect. Get in a group. Tell us the time. If you say, I can't do any time, but give me the time. Give me that time. And we might just find a group for you, so you can struggle in this growth process. So God's goal for every believer is growing toward maturity. That includes growing toward maturity this fall. Jesus is the central message for all our growth. The gospel reveals that Jesus inside of you means abundant blessings are yours. You will certainly be glorified when Jesus returns. So work hard at it, at growing this fall with the strength Christ gives you. So let's respond. First is the issue of the gospel. Have you received him whom we proclaim? We're not proclaiming Trinity. We're not proclaiming small groups. We're proclaiming him. And Trinity is about him, and small groups are about him. If you haven't yet received him today. Receive Jesus by personal faith. A response that acknowledges that on that cross he provided what was necessary for your sins, forgiveness, for you to be reconciled to God. And if you haven't yet received that free gift, take that step today. If you have taken that step, you know what God wants for you. You can't argue with the text. He wants you to be growing in Christ this fall. Of course, he wants you to be growing every season, but we're talking about that because this is an opportunity. We're strategizing, praying how to put groups in front of you. Our small group team is extending a lot of effort. It's taken more effort to get the groups together sooner this year, and we're still finalizing that, but I think thank God for each one that's helping me in this. But ask God. Pray that God would grow you and grow TCC in Christ this fall. Small groups are a great place for that growth. We're starting signups next week, continuing on the 15th. Groups start sometime the 22nd or after. And let's grow. One last thing. We get to share the Lord's Supper as a culmination and celebration. Worship of Jesus, because he is central to our life in God and to our ministry here, and remembrance of his sacrifice on the cross for us. What a wonderful gift we celebrate, and we invite all who've personally received him as Savior and all-sufficient God to receive the bread and the cup with us. Let's pray as we transition to the Lord's Supper. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. May you use this word, God, to prime the pump for the blessings that are ours in the gospel to be more and more known, embraced, understood, and applied for each believer here at TCC this fall and in our small group ministry as we grow together. God, we worship Jesus as the one who provides the way, who is the way, the one who is worthy of all worship and praise, the one who gave himself for us to be reconciled to you and to stand before you one day complete. So we look to him, trust in him, worship him now, and thank you and pray in his name. Amen. Amen.